grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We light the Christ candle today, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. Welcome to this online worship service. We give thanks for the music provided each week to help us turn our focus to God. The people who bring their gifts to this platform do so in the knowledge that it's not perfect, but with the sincere desire that it is a pleasing offering of worship to God. Would you pray with me? Holy, loving God, we turn our eyes and hearts to you today in faith and confidence that, like the loving father of the prodigal, you run to us, scooping us up in your arms and twirling us around and around, overjoyed that we return to you. We know that we don't deserve your infinite grace, yet that is your nature, to pour out your merciful forgiveness in streams of living water. Saturate and overwhelm us in your rivers of grace, we pray, as we give our whole hearts to you in praise and worship. Be glorified not just in this time of worship, but in our everyday lives. We pray in the name of our blessed Redeemer, Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer of confession? Loving God, you have set before us the path, but we have wandered on our own to try to find our way. Sometimes we are like toddlers and we hear your call and come back. Other times we are like children testing boundaries, ignoring your call until fear finally makes us look back. And still other times we are full of youthful rebellion, demanding to be cut loose and set free, forgetting that we always have more to learn. Help us to seek you every day and to acknowledge that we need your wisdom and guidance as we return to the path and walk with you. In the name of Christ, who is our companion on this journey of faith, we pray. Amen.
Friends, Scripture tells us that anyone in Christ becomes a new person. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Believe the good news that in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, the God.
How great is our God, and all will
is our God. 'Cause he's the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. 'Cause he's the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great. How great is our God.
Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 34. Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is so, why then am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die. So what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First, swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
7 or 8 years ago, we did an extended congregational study here at St. Stephen's called The Story. Phil actually made reference to it in his sermon a couple of weeks ago. It was one of those kingdom glimpses that he celebrated. In that study, we looked at specific stories in Scripture, but we also got a sense of the arc of the whole biblical story. One of the key things for us to understand in that overall story arc is that God has chosen a group of people. People who would embody and exemplify the life he's created all humankind for. These are people who live with an awareness that God is with them, and people who live towards God's purposes in this world. This idea of being a people of God is essential as we try to make sense of the Bible and of our faith. Earlier in Genesis, before the time we've heard about in our reading this morning, we find the stories of Abraham. Stories that begin with God calling Abraham, and through him, all of his descendants. In his grace, God made some huge promises to them. And he also gave them a purpose. He clearly laid out their place in God's story. He called them to be those people, God's people, saying he would make them into a great nation. And he promised that he would bless them. And in turn, God called them to be a blessing to the entire world. These were amazing promises, and it was a big plan. And it's really important for us to remember that plan, because it's a foundational how and why for our faith. As it turns out, we now actually find ourselves as part of that big plan as well. Well, as the Old Testament story proceeds, we begin to see God bringing all of this into being. Through the descendants of Abraham, God creates the people of Israel. Through the Old Testament story, it was Israel's call to be those people who lived that life with God. And then when Jesus came, God gave us a really clear picture of that life he's called us all towards through the example of Jesus' own life. Well, now, in following Jesus, we have been included in this people God has created and called. We are called to embody this life God is inviting us all to live as a blessed and a blessing people. Understanding that is really critical as we try to get our heads around what the Christian life and faith is all about. It's also one of the most challenging aspects of this life, because this idea of being called by the living God to exemplify the life we saw Jesus living, well, that can sound awfully daunting, can't it? I mean, I know me, and I know that even on my best days, there is way too much in me that doesn't look much like Jesus. That is actually part of why I thought it might be a bit of an interesting shift to spend this summer looking back at these examples we meet in these stories of the earliest days of God's people. What were these people like? And how was God able to work through them and through their lives? And honestly, friends, if their lives were flawed, and God still knit them into this story we share, and even more into his mission in this world, well, maybe there's hope for you and I to find our places in that same story as well. So this summer, we are going to spend a few weeks revisiting the stories of some of the Bible's best known and earliest figures. We're going to spend some time with Jacob and with Joseph and then with Moses. We're going to remember their lives with God, and in that be listening for how they might help us to be able to understand our own experiences with God a little better. Even more, I'm hoping that time spent with these Old Testament greats might leave us with a sense of knowing God a little better, and even more trusting and loving him a little more deeply. That's the goal. We'll see how we make out. For today, we are going to start with an introduction to a particularly interesting character, Abraham's grandson, Jacob. So as you heard, our reading for today recounts the events around the birth and early years of Jacob's life. We heard that like his father Isaac, Jacob and his brother Esau were longed for babies. Their mother Rebekah had had difficulty conceiving, and so those twin boys were actually the answer to their father's prayers. We also got to hear how from the get-go their relationship was difficult, even in the womb apparently. Before they were even born, Rebekah was told by God that her sons were destined for significant lives, but lives that would have a bit of a twist from the traditional form in patriarchal societies. God told a pregnant Rebekah that the descendants of her firstborn would actually end up serving her younger son, something that went completely against societal norms and the ancient laws of succession. It would normally be the eldest who would become the head of the family and would inherit the largest portion of their father's estate. But it would not be that way for Rebekah's sons. Well, that little twist actually starts to explain much of what follows in our reading today. Those strange bits about Jacob being born gripping his brother Esau's heel. And that description of the way Jacob kind of strong-armed a hungry Esau into selling his inheritance rights for a bowl of lentil stew. From before his first breath, we get to see something of Jacob's character. He seems to have been one of those people who was naturally inclined to fight and to strive for what he wanted. And he was not above manipulating situations and even his own family members to get those things. Yet we know from that bit of foretelling that we heard in what God told Rebekah when she was pregnant, that God knew that Jacob would end up coming out on top. He would end up getting what he longed for and coveted, the rights of the firstborn son and the lion's share of the inheritance. Well, if the biblical story tells us anything, it could be that God often behaves in strange-seeming ways. One of those ways that God is particularly noteworthy for is picking the unlikeliest of people. Jacob certainly didn't become one of Israel's great patriarchs because of his exemplary character. He was a schemer who wasn't shy about bending the rules, sometimes even breaking them, to get what he wanted. And his dearest desires, those things that he went to such great lengths to attain, well, they were actually pretty selfish things. He was looking for status and for wealth. As best as we can tell so far, Jacob was not a particularly upstanding young man. And yet, perhaps even surprisingly, none of that prevented him from taking his part in God's great story. Remember, we talk about God being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Schemer or not, for some reason, God chose Jacob to be a central figure in the lives of those blessed and blessing people, the people of Israel. Well, earlier in the sermon, I mused that I hoped we might be able to find some encouragement from these early biblical figures. As we start with this first part of the story of Jacob's life, we can see that despite his inclinations and despite what he might have been tempted to think, Jacob didn't actually secure his part in God's story with all that scheming, nor did his scheming disqualify him from taking his part in that story. It was his, simply because God is determined to keep his promises and to fulfill his plans. And it was God's faithfulness to those promises and to that big plan that lay underneath them that actually was what made Jacob take his place. It was God's determination, not Jacob's, that secured him, his part in this story of God's people. Well, here's the great news, friends. It is God's faithfulness to those same promises and to that same plan that has actually secured us our places in that story as well. Remember how I said that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of their descendants were called by God to be a blessing to this world? Well, the greatest blessing the world has ever known did indeed come through them. It came when Jesus, born of the line of Jacob, came to live among us, died to save us, and then rose so that we might have eternal life with him forever. In sending his son, God made a way for anyone who would follow Jesus to live this life all humankind has been created for. Life in relationship with God, as God's people in this world. Dear friends, God has blessed us abundantly with grace, love, and life as he has shown us in Christ. God has kept that promise he made to Abraham so very long ago. We are a blessed people. And as it has always been for the people of God, we are also called in our own ways to be a blessing to others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. It's my privilege to pray with you this morning. Let's pray. Triune God, Father, you are God above us. Jesus, you are God beside us. Holy Spirit, you are God within us. It is to you that we pray this morning. We come with grateful hearts for the new season at St. Stephen's Church with Diane as our pastor, for the summer weather and the physical beauty that our island offers us, the science and modern medicine that is fighting for a vaccine against the coronavirus. We also embrace and thank you for last Sunday's encouraging scripture, the words of Jesus. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We come to you too, in petition, God, for those that are battling illnesses of the body and or the mind and the soul. Please walk beside them and give hope and healing. For those that have lost a loved one, we ask for peace and comfort and eventually joy. And in the fight against this horrid coronavirus, we beg you to overrule decisive politics, unsound health practices, and the disease's deadly power over the world. And also in the fight against this horrid coronavirus, we beg you to undertake giving greater wisdom and discernment to our leaders and medical workers, continued strength for caregivers, and above all, please undertake the swift discovery of a vaccine. Thank you, Almighty, loving God, that you are in control. Thank you that you are always faithful to keep our promises, that we can believe what you say and trust you in all things. We love you, we thank you, we worship you. And thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, thank you for your faithful giving at this time of pandemic. Your gifts are helping this church to continue God's ministry in this world. Would you pray with me the prayer over the offering? As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is gracious and generous with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's summertime, and as happens in the summertime, we don't have many announcements. I just want to take a minute to remind you that for July and August, we are on summer office hours, which means that if you need to speak with Adele in the office, which is actually in her home, please try to call her in the mornings. She is taking the afternoons off, we hope. And now for our blessing today. Friends, God's promises endure from generation to generation. So may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who sent Jesus to redeem us, the God whose covenant is eternal, may he bless you with grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.